Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Genesis 5:23-24 has been our foundational scripture. And I've enjoyed it from the NLT version. It says, Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day, he disappeared because God took him. See, walking with God will always bring about God's involvement in your life. You see, the Bible says God took him. God got involved in his life, because he was walking with God. That is very much connected to what I'm talking about this morning. Last week we saw the evidence of a genuine walk with God. Precious people, again, I want to reiterate this. There's a lot of assumption in our current Christianity. People assume that just because they are coming to church, you see, they are necessarily walking with God. Walking with God is not the same with coming to church. Walking with God is not the same with singing songs. It's not. There are clear things that reveal that God's presence is somewhere. And this assumption that the church has gotten into, really, and I think it's the work of the devil, the deceiver, the great deceiver, that has just deceived people. Thank God that we still have the word. And we need to vet everything, not from, you know, basing ourselves on our feelings, basing ourselves on the word of God. So I would like to encourage you. I'm not in any way saying that you are not having a good walk with God. I believe you are. But I'm just saying there are evidences of a genuine walk, a genuine, like not a fake walk, like a genuine walk with God will have certain markers. One of them is you will have a passion for souls. You will have a passion to see people saved. Now, that's just one of the points that, just a recap of last week, you know, Matthew 4:19. Then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Do you need a microscope to see that? So if you walk with me, I mean, look at what the NIV says. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. As Jesus is saying, if you interact with me, if you are walking with me, a time is going to come where I will send you out to fish for people. That's a genuine evidence of a person that is walking with God. At a certain stage of that walk, the person will naturally start fishing for people. Look at the NLT of the same version. Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. I will show you how to fish for people. Because I will send you out to fish for people. Because you will become fishers of men. Every genuine follower of Jesus is a fisher of men at a certain stage. So your walk with God will ultimately lead you to the heart of the Father. Which is, God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever should believe him should not perish but should have everlasting life.
A genuine walk with God cannot finish without a call to ministry, a call to winning souls, a call to building the church, a call to getting involved in people's lives, making disciples. You can't say you are walking with God for the past 15 years. You can't show me one person, one single person that you have fished. There are people sitting in churches, they are claiming they've been walking with God. And I've been walking with God for the past 20 years. Your walk with God for the past 20 years, what can you show for it? Follow me, I will show you how to fish for people. One of the direct result or evidence of a person that is really walking with Jesus. There are people around you. There are people around you that you have won for Jesus. That you have raised for Jesus. And you see, we listen to something like this, we put it aside. We continue with, no, I feel the presence. No, I went to church. You see, that's not the evidence. That's not the evidence. The real evidence is clear. I mean, even a child can see it. Jesus is saying, if you walk with me, you will start fishing for people. Like one, you see, you become like the person you walk with. I mean, that is just the way it is. I think that is even what I'm going to talk about this morning. Let's go straight to the word for this morning, rather. I mean, so that we can all flow. Today's message, 7 divine rewards for walking with God. 7 divine rewards. So last week I was talking about the evidence. This morning I'm talking about the, but it's kind of similar, to be honest with you. What is a reward? It's a proof that you are working with Jesus. I just wanted to first focus on the evidence that are not necessarily for you. But now we're talking about the reward. Like these are things that you would benefit as a result of your work with God. Come with me to the book of Hebrews 11 verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Seeking God here is the same as walking with God. It's the same as following God. You see, because God is not visible in the naked eye, the verse tells you that if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to learn to do it by faith. You can't see God moving around this and say, hey, there's God, let me walk with God. Now, the reward comes from the fact that you are engaging spiritual laws to follow a being that is invisible in the naked eye. God says he will reward you for a good walk with him. For a good walk with him. So if you walk with God successfully, meaning a physical being walking with a spiritual being, a spirit being, and managing to walk with him successfully, hearing him, obeying him, doing all the things that you have to do, even though you've never met him, God says he'll reward you. He will reward you. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And you know, there must be a clear distinction. And there is, actually. You see, if you come with me to the book of Exodus 33 verse 16. The Bible here tells us, how will anyone know that you look favorably on me? On me and on your people. If you don't go with us. For your presence among us sets us, your people and me, apart from all other people on the earth. Praise the Lord. You see, a person that genuinely walks with God, there will be, apart from the evidences I spoke about, there will also be reward. There will be things that you will see that God is here and God is not here. You see,
I insist on this, precious people. Let's run away from assumptions and deceptions. This statement by Moses, where he says, "For your presence among us, set us, your people and me, apart from all other people on the earth. Your presence among us." That should be enough indication to you that we are not the same. And that we all come to sit in the church doesn't mean we are the same, doesn't mean we are following the same track. Malachi 3 verse 18. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked. Between those who serve God and those who do not. Another way to say it, between those who walk with God and those who do not walk with God. There must be a clear difference between a person who is walking with God, who is paying the price of alignment, who is paying the price of adjustment, who is paying the price of obedience and knowledge and all of these things, and a person who doesn't do any of those things. How can both of them be sitting in the church and they are the same people? That's why God says, I reward those who diligently seek me. Those who diligently try to align their lives with my precept. Those who diligently try to follow me. Wherever I'm going, they try to do it the way I said. I reward those ones. I reward them. And as you are listening to this word right now, you are becoming a candidate for this reward. Like, you should see yourself as a candidate for the rewards of walking with God. Walking with God is not for free. There are rewards. There are rewards. He says, He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder. So what is the reward about? The reward, seeking Him, walking with Him. Walking with Him. He says, you will seek me and find me if you seek me with all your heart. So you will be rewarded for seeking God, for walking with God, for trying to align your life and your plans and everything you are busy with the will of God for your life. He will reward you for that. And I think the man that best captured the rewards is David, the King David, the psalmist, the shepherd. And those rewards are all captured in the book of Psalm 23. If you come with me there quickly, we're going to quickly go through them this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh yeah. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Wow. He leads me beside the... Do you see the involvement of... do you see God's involvement in the life of this guy? He said, He makes me. He leads me. Now, He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Do you see the involvement of another being in the life of this guy? All over the place, like it's like you can clearly see that there's another presence. And then it says in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. May this be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And may God become involved in your life. Don't get swept away with the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are the light of the world. We don't get our reference from the world. The world should get their reference from us. Don't miss that. Praise the Lord. Now, what are the seven rewards? I actually beg to believe there are more rewards. I just picked seven, but there are more in that whole thing. So, number one, divine provision. Divine provision. Hallelujah. Malasa prakatomada. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. I shall not want. Why? The Lord is my shepherd. There are many ways to say this verse. One of the ways could be, if the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Another way to say the verse could be, because the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Another way to say is that if anything apart from the Lord is your shepherd, you have every reason to want. You have a path to reward, to want and to be in perpetual lack. If your job is your shepherd, expect lack. If your husband or your wife or your father or your mother is your shepherd, expect lack. But if the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Divine provision. This is the first reward of a person that chooses to follow the Lord. He lets the Lord lead him. He says that the Lord is my shepherd. I've never seen a shepherd, sheep leading the shepherd. The shepherd leads the sheep. So if the Lord is my shepherd, means I have subjected myself and submitted myself to the leading of the Lord. And because I have done so, I shall not want. I shall not want. Divine provision. Now, this already can be like a test in your walk and my walk with God. How are we doing as far as wants are concerned? Not everybody that claims that the Lord is their shepherd is actually their shepherd. Because the sign that the Lord is your shepherd, according to 23 verse 1, is that you shall not want. You shall not want. So stop claiming that you are going to church. Stop claiming all these things that Satan has deceived our minds with. Let's rather work with the word. The word says that if truly, truly, the Lord is your shepherd, you will not have to say it. It will show. You shall not want. You shall not want. And this should be, you know, like I can say, an encouragement to you and me today. That let me, instead of continuing deceiving myself that, you know, I'm working with God, let me work on fixing my walk with God so that one of the rewards can become real in my life. I don't want. Believers today are behaving as if God has run out of resources. It's as if God has gone bankrupt. The way we are representing God today, some people, some believers today are the reason why unbelievers cannot come cannot become believers. Just because of the bad representation of Jesus in our community, it is such that people have turned, many believers have turned into beggars. Now, it's not God's fault. God has sent a word to us. Rather than making a man your shepherd. Now, don't get me wrong. We have shepherds in the church. We have pastors and all of that. I'm talking about who you are working with. Rather than fighting this word, rather say, no, let me see if I can adjust my walk with God. So that at the end of the day, I don't want. God start providing divinely for my needs. Because that is his will for your life. That is his will for my life. That he should be our provider. That he should take care of everything you and I need. But that is under the condition that we are walking with him.
We are walking with him. You are not just coming to church. You are also walking with God after the church service is over. When you go home during the week, you are walking with God. Therefore, God is entitled or obliged, if I could say, to provide for your needs. To provide for your needs.
I have a very good case in point. 1 Kings 17 from verse 2. The Bible says, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. You see, that's where everything begins. The word of the Lord. My sheep hear my voice. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. You see, that's where, when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's referring to John 10, where he says, my sheep hear my voice. How else will this provision take place? This provision takes place through leading and guidance. It's as you hear and you follow that you get provided for. So the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Live here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan. Hello, somebody. Are you hearing the amount of instructions that are being given to one person? Listen carefully. Number one, live here. So wherever you are, live. Number two, turn east and hide in the Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan. Look at the precision in the location. I mean, if there is east of Jordan, it means there is west of Jordan. It means there is north of Jordan. It means there is south of Jordan. He is saying to him, go east of Jordan. If you say, I'm in Jordan, I can go anywhere. You see, that's where your problem is going to start. Because he says east of Jordan. First of all, he said, leave where you are. The Lord is my shepherd. Then it says in verse 4, you will drink from the brook. When you get to the east of the Jordan, then you will drink from the brook. Now look at this. It says, I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. Ravens. Do you know what are ravens? Ravens are birds. And not only birds, ravens are unclean birds. That must sink deep in your spirit. Because this is a holy man of God. This is a prophet of God. And this prophet of God, we are in the book of Kings, meaning Moses has died. The law has been left behind. Moses has left the law, and the law explained which animals are clean and which animals are unclean. And according to the law of Moses, a raven is an unclean animal. You cannot expect provision from a raven. But the Lord is saying to his servant, go east of the Jordan. First of all, there will be a brook there. Then number two, I have given instructions to ravens to come and give you food there. Say with me, the provision of God. Divine provision might not look the way you expected. And this is where a lot of disciples and a lot of God's children miss the provision of God. Because it didn't come in the shape of a dove. Because as a Christian, you know doves. Doves are the right birds that should bring you anything. That the dove represents the Holy Spirit. Ravens are witchcraft. So now if you say that your provision is coming with raven, I'm saying, like, what type of provision is this? I don't think God is involved in this thing. And this is how we miss the provision of God. What do ravens represent? Unusual people. Unexpected people. Even to some degree, unwanted people. Because it's one thing to say, Lord, bless me. And then after you said, I said, Lord, I know you'll bless me through so and so.
See, your eyes are on a certain number of people. You know that God will do it, but you're also hoping that God will do it through Sun City.
Mm-hmm.
You are praying for the job, but you know that, no, Lord, I mean, Sun City is here, just here, just here. And there are a few months around. Just do it. But God had a ravenic job for you. A job from ravens that doesn't look like the ones you are expecting in your mind. As a man of God, as a servant of God, as a child of God, God is sending ravens. And that is how many start missing their breakthrough. The provision of God comes. First of all, they miss the location, and then they miss the messenger or the person God has given the things to bring to them. So it's bad news for us here this morning. If you are very selective in who must be the door through which God is going to bless you. Are you that type of a person, after you've asked God for something, you are now putting God in that some serious, like you are telling God, no, that thing, it must come through this person. Or your eyes are from that, after you make the prayer, no, your eyes are not in your husband, or in your wife, or in your father, or in your mother, or in your cousin, on your uncle. Or in your pastor. Who are you looking at? Or who are you looking for? Or who are you waiting for? Be careful with those expectations that you have, because when the ravens arrive, you might miss them. You might miss your ravens. Some of us in this country, you don't expect that God will bless you through a foreigner, you see? You don't expect it. When you make your prayer, you are expecting that God will bless you through a South African. But what if God has decided that your blessing will come to a foreigner? A raven. Some of you this morning, your problem, your raven will be a woman. You are expecting your blessing to come from a man. You believe that God, if God wants to bless you, God will use a man. If God wants to bless you, if God wants to bless you with healing, God will use a pastor, a man of God. But then maybe God has anointed a woman. And you are missing the raven. Some of you, your raven is your maid in your house. Go and ask Naaman when he was sick, and it took a raven from another country called Samaria and a maid in his house that God used to bring his healing. Some of you, your maid is your helper. I mean, your raven is your helper. Sometimes your raven is your child in the house. May God open your eyes this morning. May you be sensitive in the Holy Spirit to recognize when a person has become a raven sent by God. Sometimes your raven is your enemy. Somebody that doesn't like you normally. Somebody that wouldn't really help you normally. But God has chosen to embarrass the kingdom of darkness that day by using that person for you. I have directed ravens to supply you with food there. So he did what the Lord had told him. And I thank God for Elijah. He obeyed God promptly. He went there. He went to the Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. What does that mean? When he probably got there, there was nothing. But because God sent him there, he stayed there. Hello, somebody. God has sent you to a city, and it seems like nothing is happening. Stay there. Stay there. God has directed you in a certain way, and it seems look like maybe you miss God. You know you are missing something. Stay there. The Bible says he stayed there. A lot of us are lying this. We are lacking this staying power. The ability to patiently wait where God has directed you. Too much in a hurry. And we miss God. You shall not miss him in Jesus' name. Stay there, the Bible says. Verse 6, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening. Praise the Lord. Double portion every every single day, bread and meat in the morning, full buffet, full breakfast, full everything, morning and evening. That's how you know God has blessed you. It comes full. Full package. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Yeah. But you gotta hear him. You gotta hear him. That's your only prize. Hear him. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. That's all. There's nothing else to do. Hear and obey. That's all. Hence, I started by saying the biggest plague in our world today is distraction. People can quietly sit and hear and capture the voice of God. They run helter-skelter all day long for the bread of sorrow. You are exempted from that group in the name of Jesus. From today, you will learn to stay there and wait for the voice. Wait for the voice. Let God minister to you. Let God speak to you. You see, you can't walk with a person and you're not hearing him talk. I actually question that walk. Every walk that does not involve the voice of God, I don't know. Are you sure you are walking with a person? If you are walking with kids and you are ahead and they are following you behind, I think you will stop as soon as you don't hear their voice anymore. As soon as you don't hear any noise anymore, you turn back, so you stop. What's going on behind me? So when was the last time you got a clear instruction from the Lord regarding your personal life, regarding your family life, regarding your finances, regarding your ministry, regarding your relationships, regarding your career, regarding your business? Regarding any area of your life, when was the last time you captured a real instruction from above? May today be that first day. If you had lost it, may this morning be that day when you reconnect actually to the voice of God, which is a sign that you are walking with God. Praise the Lord. The Bible says sometime later, the brook dried up. Because there had been no rain in the land. You see the importance of sensitivity. God directed you somewhere. You stayed. It started working just the way he said. But after a while, it changed. The brook dried up. What do you do when your brook dries up? Well, if you are walking with God, you got to go back for the voice. Verse 9, then the word of the Lord came to him. No. God told me to be here. God told me to be here. I see there's no more water, but I'm sure something is coming. I'm sure something is coming. I'm going to stay here. And many of us have stayed in dry brooks. Dry relationships. Dry ventures. Dry. There's no life. The water has stopped. That you have stayed there. Just because God directed you there doesn't mean God stays there. You should be able to pick up that God has left this thing, man. I must also dry programs. There's no life in the thing. But you keep pushing it. You keep pushing it. No, because God directed me. I heard from God. And ravens came morning. And where are the ravens again? Ravens are gone. Water has dried. Instead of you connecting to the brook, connect to the voice. La posa katapama. Why are you connecting to the circumstances more than you are connecting to the voice that led you to the circumstances in the first place? Your connection should not be to the thing. Your connection should be to the voice of God. If the voice brought you here, what is the voice saying again? What is the voice saying? The brook dried up, the Bible says. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. You see, another instruction. God has not finished talking to you. Why are you taking your earphones off already? God hasn't finished talking to you. Now, that God directed you somewhere doesn't mean you should take off your earphones, switch off your phone, and say, no, God has brought me here. No. Leave your phone on. I said, leave your phone on. Leave the connection on, because there might be further instructions apart from that first instruction. And this has grounded a lot of people. They went really faithful and truly in something God directed them to, but then they got stuck there. Because of lack of sensitivity to the voice of God, to know that even though this strategy worked last year, it might not work this year. It has become a dry brook. God seek God again for fresh word. God seek God for a fresh word. The God who directed you to the east of Jordan can direct you to Zarephath. God is not limited to the east of Jordan by the brook. God holds the whole world in his hand, and he can direct you where he knows where the provisions are. But here you are, you have made a totem and you have made an idol in east of Jordan. No, this is where God spoke to me. This is the place. This is where God told me that I must come. And I saw my miracles here. I saw ravens feeding me in the morning. I saw ravens feeding me in the evening. I saw water from the brook. I'm staying here. What do you do when the brook has dried up? Where you tune back in again to hear the next instruction. And the next instruction is, go at once to Zarephath and in the region of Sidon, stay there. Now listen to this. I have directed a widow. So God is not limited to ravens. God can use anything. Now he was using birds. Now he has decided that he's done with birds. He has vacated birds. He has now turned to widows. But here you are now saying that, no, I think God is in the bird moves. I think now I must start looking for eagles. I must start looking for eagles and pigeons. Because God started with ravens, I'm sure God is now shooting to owls. Let him do the leading. You just follow. And that way, you will be able to say like David, I shall not want. Why? Because see, I can assure you, Elijah could say like David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because when he directs me to east of Jordan, and then things don't go well, that he directs me to Zarephath, like I just follow him. He leads me beside the still waters. I follow. And as a result of following God, I do not want. May your day of lack come to an end from this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I have directed a widow. God ordered a raven and God directed a widow. Father, may there be some new orders sent and may there be some new directions for people to provide and supply for the needs of your children. God has directed somebody regarding your job. And God has ordered somebody regarding your wedding. God is busy doing all those things. All you have to do, stop doing the ordering and the directing. Start doing the following. That's your part. That's your part. Say that the widow will supply you with food there. Oh yes. Luke 22:35. And he said to them, when I sent you with that money bag, neck sack, and sandals, did you lack anything? So they said, nothing. Nothing. Now you see, they must have spoken the truth because Thomas was there. You see, if they had lacked anything, do you understand? Thomas is one of those people who only believe what he sees. Even Thomas approved that, you know, we didn't lack anything. I saw everything. Everything was there. Fully. There was no problem. Maybe Peter could have quickly accepted and they joined up because they love Jesus. But Thomas, he said, if I don't see, I don't believe. So Thomas, it is, they said nothing. So Thomas also approved that, you know, Lord, indeed, when you send us without money, without anything, because you sent us, we didn't lack anything. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Even Thomas agreed that God provided fully when he was the one sending them. So the key is, the verse doesn't say, when you went. No, when I sent you. Yeah. There's a man of God who says, some people are sent, some people go. He said, when you went. No, when I sent you. So I'm taking responsibility for the mission. When I sent you to East of Jordan, I take responsibility over that. When I sent you to Zarephath, I take responsibility over that. But when you go to East of Jordan, you have to handle it. You have to handle it yourself. Or you hear that, you know, years ago, God sent Elijah to East of Jordan. I think, let me also go to East of Jordan. You might not even reach it. Number two, divine recoveries. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Part of walking with God is that you recover things. Restore my soul. He restores my soul. To restore means to return someone or something to its former condition, place, or position. To restore also means to repair, to renovate, so as to return to the original condition. Lastly, to restore means to give something stolen, taken away, or lost back to the original owner. I like that one. Give something that was stolen, taken away, lost back to the original owner. I mean, if you've been around, even if it's just for 2 weeks, you must have lost something. Something must have been stolen from you. Something must have been taken away from you. And you see, it is so good to know that part of walking with God is that God promises to restore your soul. That He will restore. That it left you doesn't mean you should give up. You shouldn't give up. In Joel 2:25-26, the Lord says, I will give you back what you lost. I will give you back what you lost. What you lost to the swarming locust, the hopping locust, the stripping locust, the cutting locust. It was I who sent this great destroying army against you. Once again, you will have all the food you want. And you will praise the Lord your God who does these miracles for you. Never again will my people be disgraced. Praise the Lord. He says, I will give you back what you lost. That's the restoration he's talking about. That's the restoration he's talking about. You see, a lot of things, once you lose it, you are off track. Like you've actually... You've lost years because some of these things, to get one, it takes a long time. So when you lose something valuable, or when something valuable gets taken away from you, or gets destroyed, it's like half your life has been canceled. All the effort, all the sacrifice. I mean, you've seen those in the natural reserve where you see a lion the whole day, he's fighting to catch one antelope. And he finally manages to catch the antelope. Before he can even start eating his antelope, the hyenas come and surround the guy, bully him, and he has to run for his life and leave the whole thing. So you see, he has lost the whole day, the whole effort, the whole sacrifice, and he's still hungry. Imagine the blessing that it will be for this lion if maybe some hunters could come and just shoot all those hyenas and give him back his kill. What a blessing that would be. You know, that is what God is saying He's going to do in your life and in my life. God says that because the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy, I will restore back what has been stolen. You know, certain precious relationships have been stolen from you. Certain opportunities have been taken away from you. A lot of good things that God had prepared for you and that you were beginning to enjoy were snapped out of your hands. Were snapped out of your hand. But if you are walking with God, hallelujah, at some stage of your walk with God, the Bible says, I will restore your soul. I will restore it. Restore. 1 Samuel 30 verse 8. So David inquired of the Lord saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them. Without fail, recover all. Recover all. Recover all. It is the will of God that if things were taken from you, that were not supposed to be taken away from you, it is the will of God that those things must be brought back. Recover all. Nothing was left. Nothing was missing. Nothing was broken. He recovered the people. He recovered the goods. He recovered the children. He recovered everything. May you recover fully in the name of Jesus Christ. Number three, divine guidance. We're going to go fast. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Hallelujah. You see, I'm talking about the seven rewards of walking with God. First reward, divine provision. Second reward, divine recoveries. Isn't it? Yes. Third reward, divine guidance. He leads me. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Hallelujah. Amen. Proverbs 14 verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's a way that seems right. There's a man that seems a right husband. There's a woman that seems a right wife. There's a job that seems a right opportunity. There's a car that seems the right deal. There's always something that seems right. It seems right. It looks right. It feels right. Masata pokanama. But the Bible says, but its end, destruction. Is destruction. Now, if you are walking with God, he says, I will lead you. Listen to him in the book of Psalm 32, verse 8 and verse 9. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Because Proverbs is saying there's a way that seems right, but it is death. So he promises you that he will teach you in the way you should go. He will guide you with his eye. He said, I will guide you with my eye.
Wow.
Then he goes on to say, do not be like the horse or like the mule,
which have no understanding. Come on, somebody. Which must be harnessed with a bit and a bridle, else they will not come near you.
These are two distinct animals with different features. One is a hybrid of the horse and the donkey that produce a mule. A barren and sterile animal that is just for work. You can't do nothing else. It's just to work. It works. It's like a slavery. But he says, do not be like a horse or a mule. You see, human beings can be one of those two when it comes to the leading of the Lord. I've shared this before. A horse, top speed. A mule, stubbornness, slowness. Both are dangerous. If God is going to lead you, before God hasn't finished talking, he's still trying to say, ease off. He hasn't said even ease of Jordan. You've already taken off. You haven't even heard properly. He is of what? Now, halfway through, they say, ease off. Then he says, hey, I didn't hear the whole thing. I mean, that's a whole instruction. The Karif Ravine. He's still saying the Karif Ravine. He said, no, I know it. You are gone. That's a horse. Sanguine people, choleric people, they don't wait for the full instruction. God is just still mentioning, no, I think I know her. It's okay. I'm going. Hey! You see, that's a horse. He can't wait for the full instruction. His legs are too in a hurry. His legs have, flu. They are shaking like this. I'm ready to shoot. That just release me. Just release me. Release me. That one is not good, though. And then the mule, Kerith Ravine, east of Jordan. That's it. Yeah, but more. No. That's it. Go. Wait, I'm still waiting to hear. Melancholic and phlegmatics, this is their biggest problem in this life. No matter how many instructions, they are still wanting for more. More notes. They are taking more notes. They are highlighting. They are taking... Hey! Asking yourself, after all this highlighting, are you going to finally go to Kerith Ravine, east of Jordan? He said, no, I need to research Kerith Ravine. I need to research that place. And east of Jordan, I need to research it very, very well. And Jordan must be researched, and east must be researched, and everything must be researched. My God. Listen to me. The Bible is saying to you this morning, don't be a horse, and don't be a mule. Be in between. Be in between. So you take time to hear, and after you hear, you go. Don't be those who hear and they're still waiting. Now let's wait. Some say, let's go. Let's say, let's wait. They're those two people. Hallelujah. God is helping somebody this morning in the name of Jesus. Number four, divine protection. We are almost at the end. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, he is going through a very, very dangerous situation. But he says he doesn't fear no evil. And the only reason why David doesn't fear, he says, God is with him. Divine protection. Job 1, 9 to 10. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? So it pays to fear God, you see. There's a reward for fearing God. There's a reward. Even Satan is attesting that if you fear God, it will not be for nothing. It will not be for nothing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you fear God, you live your life according to the principles of the word of God. It is not for nothing. Even the devil is attesting it here. He said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, around all that he has on every side? The verse doesn't say that Job did it. He says God that he has chosen to fear, God that he has chosen to walk with, he says God has made a hedge of protection around Job, around his household, around all that he has on every side. Receive that in the name of Jesus. That is divine protection. Divine protection. Verse 10 says, you have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. You see, if the blessing of God is on you, but the protection of God is not on you, you will not increase. So some people have the blessing, but they don't have the protection. When God was blessing Abraham, he says, whoever blesses you shall be blessed. Whoever curses you shall be cursed. So he blessed and protected with the curse. It's not enough to just have the blessing of the Lord. You need to also have the protection of, in fact, you should start with the protection first. That's why I always teach my guys, when you buy a piece of land, protect it first. Fence it. That's the first thing you do. When you see people in any area, when they want to build a house, before they build, they fence the place. They build a barricade around the whole place and they start working inside. So God protects you first, then he starts blessing the work of your hands. Because if God just blesses you and he doesn't protect you, everything he gives you, Satan comes and steals, Satan comes and destroys, and then you can't increase. That's a word for somebody here. Fight to have the protection, and this protection comes big. You just walking with God. You're walking with God. He protects you. Psalm 34 verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear the Lord, and he delivers them. Psalm 91 verse 11 and 12, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. All of these are verses of protection, to protect you, to keep you. In the night, before you sleep, recite these verses. You must say, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Because I fear the Lord, the angels of the Lord are already all around this place tonight to protect me. It's one of your rewards for walking with God. Protection. Protection. Number five, divine presence. I fear no evil. You are with me. One of the greatest rewards of the presence of God is that you start inheriting his presence. 2 Peter 1:4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. I believe by far that's the greatest blessing of walking with God and inheriting his presence. Like you start partaking of his divine nature. Whatever he has, start slowly but surely coming on your side. Wow! The nature of God. Bishop Oyedepo says we are not all human beings on earth. And it's true. We are not all human beings on earth. Some people have gravitated from human beings to heavenly beings, to spiritual beings. Because you partake of the nature of God so much that his nature swallows your human nature. And you become a spirit walking. Partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. Paul and Silas go to a certain extent. The gods have come to us in the likeness of men. Because the nature of God has developed in them so much that people can see God. And they say, this is God. God came as man. And that is what starts routing victory everywhere you go. Genesis 39 verse 2 and 3. The Lord was with Joseph. And he was a successful man. Yeah. Just because God was with him. That nature that doesn't fail. That nature that doesn't lose was in him. And he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 2 says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hands. An unbeliever looked at the guy and said, no, God is with this guy. Why? Because everything he touches just turns into gold. Receive that night. Name of Jesus Christ, that as you walk with God, his presence will start being with you. The nature of God will stop being a just mere human. The Bible says that they don't have understanding. They shall die like mere mortals. They are not supposed to die like mere mortals. Saul was not supposed to die like one who was not anointed. Yet he died like one who was not anointed. A child of God is not supposed to die as a mere man. A mere man is a person who is no God. When you know God, divine nature starts being imparted in you. As you see, let me read it to you fully. I didn't read the whole thing. You see, it says, through these, we may partake of the divine nature. Say with me, the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. Huh? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You escape something by carrying this divine nature. You escape. You escape. You escape. You see, having escaped the corruption, the spoilage that is in the world. You escape the curses in your family. You escape the evil spirit that are operating around. You escape the mutants at work. You escape all those things because you have the divine nature with you. You see, when believers are not walking with God, they don't escape. They are a victim like everybody. They are a victim. You don't escape this thing because you are going to church. You escape this thing because you are walking closely with Him, and so closely that a piece of Him starts rubbing on you. Then you start escaping. Hallelujah. Number six, divine promotion. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Say with me, divine promotion. Say with me, divine promotion. Look, God will do it in front of your enemies. In front of those who are saying she's not rising, she's going to stay down, she's not getting married, she's not getting a job. God is going to promote you in front of them. Right in their faces, they will see you rise like a rocket in front of their eyes. Shatepe katoka panamanda. These guys are all there hoping for this anointing, and the anointing has come to somebody else. In front of them. In front of them. In front of them. Look at this dangerous verse. Joshua 3, 7. The Lord told Joshua, today, I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of them. All of the Israelites, today, I will begin to exalt you. How? He said, I will begin to promote you from today. Like, as you go today like this, I will begin to promote you. They will know that I am with you. That's what he says. He said, they will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses. Today, I will begin to exalt you. What is this? So I begin to promote you. It is impossible to walk with God. Basically, what I'm trying to say to you, it is impossible to walk with God and remain at the same level forever. It's not possible. Little work of David as a shepherd, God promoted him, became a military leader. Before he knew it, he became a king. Before he knew it, he became a king of kings. King over Judah, king over Hebron, king over the whole of Israel. King over, I mean. You walk with God, you will change levels. Psalm 75, 6, 7. Promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. May you be set up in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lastly, divine expectations. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is your expectation. After you've walked with God on earth, you go and spend eternity with Him in heaven. Enoch was no more after walking with God. Because God said, you know, come. This is you dating a person for a while. Are you intending to date the person forever? I'm asking you a personal question. Are you intending to date the person forever? Isn't it that after a while we say, just come now, it's time, come. And he said, no, come now and stay with me permanently.
My wife used to visit when she was a beloved. Now she has made her abode. Hey, she has tabernacled. She has pitched her tent. Hey, she brought all her clothes. My God, she brought her shoes. She brought everything. And the family, everybody has come. So I'm asking you, how are you intending to date forever? God is not intending to date you forever, my friend. He wants you to come and to be where he is permanently. Come with your soul. Come with everything that you, whatever you can come with. Come with it. Hallelujah. There's a beautiful scripture that we have here as we close. It says in the book of John 14, 2 to 3. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If it weren't so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you. So that you will always be with me where I am. So that you will always be with me where I am. This is divine hope, divine expectation, that wherever he is, just like Enoch, after our walk with him down here, we translate to glory with him. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life on earth. But then I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Now we are no more talking about this one on earth here. You cannot be in this house here forever and ever. But the one in heaven is forever and ever. So there's a translation. After you goodness and mercy has followed you down here, you've had a good life here on earth, because God is good and God is merciful. So when it says goodness and mercy, it's telling you God is with me. God is moving with me. And then after that, I get to be with him forever and ever. That's the same thing that happened to Enoch. Enoch walked with God and he disappeared because God took him. And brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be in the dark. The Bible says that I do not want you to be ignorant that a time is coming where the last trumpet shall resound and the dead in Christ shall rise first and mount to the heavens to meet with the Lord in the air. And we who are alive, the Bible says, shall be caught up. In a twinkle of an eye, we shall be changed. And we shall be caught up with the Lord in the air. That is our divine hope. That a day is coming where the dead shall hear his voice. And the living shall hear his voice. Some call it the rapture. Some call it the taking away of the church. But that day is coming. We're not going to all be here on earth forever, no. We're going to rise up and be with our Lord. He's preparing a room for you and me. Why? He wants us to be with him forever. You see, if you are dating a person and you say, you know, I'm preparing a room for you in my house, the person starts understanding that actually you don't want to keep just doing things like that. You want the person to now come and live permanently with you. And that is what every true relationship must lead to. Permanency. Eternity. You see now, on earth you are not walking with God. How will you end up with him in heaven? That's why this work that starts here, it doesn't end here. It continues in heaven. It's a translation. Death is just a passage. Death is just a door to something more excellent, more glorious, greater for all of us. Praise the Lord. I want to ask you a question as I close this morning. If you were to die today, can you tell me 100% sure that you'll be in heaven with Jesus? If not, I would like to give you an opportunity to get things right with God today. Have your sins forgiven. Have your name written in the book of life. Have the blood of Jesus cleanse you from all sin.
first step. Jesus. Take your first step. Your first step of many.
I took mine a few years ago and I regret it for nothing. I'm so glad I did. And ever since then, I've been encouraging people to take their first step of faith towards the cross. And I'm encouraging you this morning. Are you born again? Are you washed and cleansed in the blood? Are you sanctified? If not, we can do it now. I want to pray for you before I go. Thank you for listening to me this whole month. Thank you for allowing me to come to you with this word, walking with God. Something else is coming this coming Sunday. It will also continue blessing you. But now you are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to start my walk with God today. I'd like to help you. At the count of three, you can raise your right hand. Pastor, I will pray with you. 1, 2, 3. You can lift your hand. God bless you. God sees those hands. You can take them down. Please repeat these words after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.